Greetings in the precious name of Jesus. For an opening text, you can open your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1. Had a number of interruptions in my schedule yesterday and today that made it so that I am not going to preach the sermon I anticipated to preach this morning. But I feel that God has laid this sermon on my heart. I became aware yesterday or the day before, I forget which, that the 7th graders in school were supposed to take notes on the sermon that was preached today, which is a very good exercise from your school lessons. So I was thinking about that while I was preparing a sermon and thinking about preparing something that would be easy for them to take notes on. And I worked on that, but then yesterday afternoon I sat down to finish it, work at finishing it, and I had a cattle water that came apart that I had to work on till after dark. But I wasn't exceedingly alarmed by that. I often get up 5:30 Sunday morning, and the last 5:30 to 7:30 is when I finish the finishing touches of most sermons that I preach. But at 5:30 this morning, when the alarm went off, the house was exceptionally dark, and we found some candles, my wife and I, and lit up the house, tried to, but as you know, my eyesight's not the best and doesn't go well at all studying by candlelight. So yes, I was indeed glad for the sunshine to come across the horizon this morning. But that sermon will have to wait. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 18. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversations received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word by the gospel is preached unto you. He's talking about redemption in verse 18. He tells us what we are not redeemed by. Silver and gold doesn't redeem us. Corruptible things don't redeem us. The traditions of our fathers don't redeem us. But what does redeem us? But with the precious blood of Christ. Verse 23. Again, he doesn't use the word redeemed here. Rather, he says being born again And again, he tells us, not of corruptible seed, not of tangible things that we can touch with our hands. That's not how we're born again. But of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Turn to 1 John chapter 1. Very familiar passage. And I think I'll read these 10 verses. Even though they are familiar, it's good for us to think about them being here in this order. 1 John chapter 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. What's he talking about here? That which was from the beginning. The life that was manifested in verse 2. Well, John is talking about Jesus. And he's saying that Jesus was from the beginning. And it was Jesus, he said, that we saw with our eyes and we looked upon and our hands handled. And as Jesus walked and talked in this world, his life was manifested before their eyes and they saw it. And he says, that's what we want to declare unto you. Verse 4, and these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. The title of my message this morning is in question form, Are You Washed in the Blood? Is the question that is the title. Are you washed in the blood? Peter had talked about that in the passage we read, the precious blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from sin, redeems us. John talks about it here, the blood that cleanses us from all sin in verse 7. Are you washed in the blood? The songwriter Elisha Huffman, approximately 100 years ago, wrote the song, Is Thy Heart Right with God? And the chorus says, Is thy heart right with God, washed in the crimson flood? There we are, the blood again. Cleansed and made holy, humble and lowly, right in the sight of God. The last part of our message will take 9 questions that he asked in that song. And we'll look clearly at those in endeavoring to answer this question, Are you washed in the blood of Jesus? A number of verses, we're not going to turn to all of these, a number of these are familiar, but think about what is said here. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. To be washed in the blood is to be saved. And if we believe and are baptized, then we shall be saved. In Luke chapter 19, Jesus speaking to Zacchaeus, he says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Jesus is saying, "I, the Son of Man, am come to seek and to save those that are lost." That's what I'm here for, Zacchaeus. John 3, verse 17 says, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world." Jesus did not come to condemn, but that the world through him might be saved. That's why Jesus came. We should remember that as we celebrate his birth this Christmas season. That's why Jesus came, that the world might be saved. "For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." It is Jesus Christ. Romans 5, "Therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God." 2 Corinthians 15, "Therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." If we are washed in the blood, that has happened. We are a new creature. And all things have become new. 1 Peter 1, "In whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." Sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Do you and I know what that means this morning, to be sealed? Think about that. That's what Jesus did for us. Hebrews 7, "Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him." Matthew 18, a very familiar passage that Jesus quoted, "Except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." So we must be washed in the blood in order to be able to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Jeremiah 21 says, "Thus saith the Lord, behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death." Romans 3, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We read in 1 John that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. In John 1, he says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God," the sons and daughters of God. If we are born again this morning, if we are washed in the blood, we have become his son and his daughter. John 3, verse 16. You know it by heart. Let's say it together. "For God so loved the world
that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life."
Whosoever believeth should not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans 10, verse 9, "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." Confessing Jesus as the answer to the sin question in our lives is full of faith. We can't properly confess to Jesus if we don't believe that he has the power to cleanse us, and to wash away the sin with his blood. Confession is full of faith. Confession is believing that Jesus is the answer. I believe this morning that being washed in the blood of Jesus is a notable event in the life of every Christian. It's notable. We are saved by faith. We are new creatures. Old things are passed away. All things become new. Moving directly to the song that Elisha Hoffman wrote. It's not in either one of our hymnals, I don't think, this morning, or I would have you turn to it, but it is in the Christian hymnal, number 274. And the 9 points that I have are direct words from his song. He asked 10 questions in the verses of his song. Two of them seem to be very similar in thought and answer, so I have condensed it to 9. But all of these points come directly from his song. And I believe that they are points that can help us to discover if we have been washed in the blood of Jesus. We want to know that this morning when we leave here. Have we been washed in the blood of Jesus? Question number one that he asked in that song is this. This is point number one. Have thy affections been nailed to the cross? That's the first question he asked. Have thy affections been nailed to the cross? What does that mean? We've read about Jesus and how he was nailed to the cross by the cruel Roman soldiers. But the songwriter writes the question, have thy affections been nailed to the cross? Elsewhere in Scripture, we are told to set our affections on things that are above. And Jesus has a good bit to say about where to lay your treasure and laying your treasure at the right place. Think about your affections, the things that you love, the things that steer your life, the influences that affect you. Selfishness is a big part of affections. We have things that we want and things that we think we deserve in life. Things that we love to do, things that we love so much that they take a lot of our time. But I believe Jesus would ask the questions, have thy affections been nailed to my cross? The affections that I have that are not good affections. The affections that I have that keep me closely bound to this world. The affections that I have that bring sin into my life. Have I nailed them to the cross? That's part of being washed in the blood of Jesus. Point number two, second question. Dost thou count all things to Jesus but loss? That's the second question in his song. Dost thou count all things for Jesus but loss? Turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. I think this will help us to discover what the songwriter may have been thinking about There are many other places we could turn as well, but let's go to Philippians 3. Philippians 3 and verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Do you count all things for Jesus but loss? Do I count? Paul says, there were things that I thought were gain in my life. I thought I had really accomplished something. But he says, those I counted lost for Christ. He says, everything is loss that man accomplishes when we compare it with what Jesus has done. When we compare it with winning Christ. And in counting all things loss, the great accomplishments of man, when we count them loss and we start looking to God, that helps us to be able to attain onto the resurrection of the dead. Jesus taught us that he had the power to rise out of the tomb. And if we believe in Jesus this morning and we've counted all things lost for him, then we have begun to attain that power that Jesus had. Through the power of Jesus, we can claim that he will raise us out of the tomb and take us to glory because we counted all things lost for him. Point number three, third question the songwriter asks, hast thou dominion over self and or sin? Hast thou dominion or self and or sin? The poet uses that word or there because it rhymes better. Hast thou dominion or self and or sin? That's spelled O, apostrophe E-R. The V is missed. It means over. But the poet only wanted one syllable. Hast thou dominion over self and over sin? That's quite a question, isn't it? Do you have dominion over yourself? With the help of God. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. Verse 19. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they had known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Verse 19, for of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. Am I in bondage to sin this morning? Do I have dominion over self and over sin with the help of God, or don't I? If I'm washed in the blood of Jesus, I have dominion over self and over sin by the power of Jesus. I'm not living in the bondage of sin. Point number four. He asked this question, is there no more condemnation for sin? Is there no more condemnation for sin? Turn to Psalm 40. Psalm 40 and verse 12. Psalm 40, verse 12, for innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head. Therefore, my heart faileth me. We see here a man that is condemned. And he feels condemned, so condemned that he can't look up. And the songwriter says, is there no more condemnation for sin? In other words, he's saying, if you are washed in the blood of Jesus, then the Spirit of God is not condemning you. You are free. You are not in bondage as this man in Psalm 40, verse 12. Point number five. Again, a question from the song. Does Jesus rule in the temple within? Does Jesus rule in the temple within? Inside of us, each is a temple, a house of God. We've come to the house of God to worship this morning, and this is his temple that we see. But there is another temple, and it's the temple inside of your heart and soul. And the question is, does Jesus rule in that temple? Or does the devil and his powers rule in that temple? Does Jesus rule in the temple within? Point number six, are all thy powers under Jesus' control? Are all thy powers under Jesus' control? Turn with me to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7, beginning at verse 14. We're thinking about the question, are all thy powers under Jesus' control? Romans 7, verse 14, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Here we have a picture of fallen man. And if you're of accountable age this morning, you can identify with this passage. A time in your life where you resolved, verse 15, the things that I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do not. There are things that I know I should do, and I don't do them. And there are things that I hate, and I do them anyway. And when it's like that, it's sin that is in control. The songwriter says, are all thy powers under Jesus' control? And if that's how you feel, the things that you hate, you do. And the things that you know you should do, you don't do. Then all your powers are not under Jesus' control. Point number 7. Turn to John 14 for this one. John 14. The songwriter puts it this way with this question, does he each moment abide in thy soul? This is very simple, similar to the one, number 5, does Jesus rule in the temple within? But he says it a different way. Does he each moment abide in thy soul? John 14, verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. The Spirit of Jesus Christ. Jesus says, I'm going to leave, and I'm going to pray that the Spirit will come and abide with you forever. And he says it's the Spirit of truth. And the world that is about us, sinful man, cannot receive the Spirit of truth. But if we believe in Jesus and accept him into our lives, the Spirit of truth comes into our heart and abides in the soul. Constantly, each moment, abide in thy soul. Point number 8. Again, a question. Art thou now walking in heaven's pure light? Art thou now walking in heaven's pure light? We read about that in 1 John 1. I read that passage in the outstart. We read that God is light, and there is not darkness in him. If we walk in darkness, then we're not walking with God. But if we walk in the light, then we find ourselves walking with God. Art thou now walking in heaven's pure light? Are you walking in the light of Jesus today? Has the blood of Jesus cleansed you from all sin? And are you walking in his light? Do you love the light? Or do you love darkness? Art thou now walking in heaven's pure light? Point number 9, the last point and the last question from the psalm. You can turn to Psalm 51. I would like to look at Psalm 51 for this point as well as Revelation 7. But we'll go to Psalm 51 first of all. I meant to say this earlier for the song leader's benefit, but I didn't, but I'll say it now. I would like to, after a kneeling prayer, if our song leader would lead us in Zion's Praises, number 303. Point number 9, is thy soul wearing the garment of white? Is your soul wearing the garment of light? Garment of white. Could be light, but the poet says garment of white. Is thy soul wearing the garment of white? Psalm 51, verse 7. What does he mean? What did the poet mean when he wrote a garment of white? Psalm 51, verse 7. David says, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. That's the garment of white. A cleansed heart that is cleansed by the blood of Jesus and washed clean. That's a garment that we can wear, a garment of white. Revelation chapter 7. Some future prophecies here. Revelation chapter 7, verse 13 through 17. 13 to the end of the chapter, I'll read. Revelation 7, verse 13. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. The question is, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence come they? Is my soul wearing the garment of white this morning? Is yours? Has your soul been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ? If it has, you can claim this promise in Revelation chapter 7 that you will one day be in the presence of God in a garment of white. By the throne of God, serving him day and night. No more needs, no more suffering, no more hunger, no more pain. Light lots of light and lots of white if we have been washed in the blood of Jesus. Shall we kneel for prayer?